Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crimecast Patreon. I am John here with Jamie. Still snowed in.
Still snowed in. It's been at least a fortnight since we've been.
Feels like two. And I don't even know what a fortnight is.
7 years ago? I don't know. No. I was really in a mood for a whodunit for this Patreon. So that's why I went this direction. Our writer Mackenzie had a baby. So yeah. She's going to be out. So you're going to get back to some of our original stuff that we're producing here in the next little bit. So I don't think it'll change anything, but we're excited for her.
Yeah, we are. She's healthy. Baby's healthy. Everybody's good.
I'm healthy. You're healthy.
I'm okay. I'm living. I healed your feet.
You healed my feet. That's good. Listen to Bless Their Hearts. Yeah, last week. We went over that.
All right, Jamie. Why don't you get the ball rolling?
We're going to talk about Louise Soselski. And we're going to call her Louise because I'm probably 70% sure it's Soselski. She was a Buffalo, New York property owner that was found brutally murdered in her home in 1995. This is the story of how police, under pressure to solve this crime, followed a trail that may not have followed physical evidence, and they ended up pursuing people instead of real life evidence, and it created a really questionable investigation to try to get at who actually did it.
So a little bit about Louise. At the time of her murder, she was 69 years old. She lived alone in a two-story home that was also used as a rental property. By all accounts, she was very meticulous. She was private, very independent woman. She loved managing her own buildings. She collected rent for herself and handled maintenance disputes personally. So this was like, I don't know. I don't want to say granny, but she was kind of a granny. So granny was a go-getter.
Yeah, and feisty, I think, was a word people used to describe her. And she's out there collecting her own bills. She's like her own goon out there shaking people down.
She didn't seem like the kind of woman who would just like let people run over. So if people had any kind of, I don't know, complaint, then she would deal with it. And that kind of put her in regular conflict with some tenants. And you know what? I'm not saying it's her fault. But people are just buttholes.
Yeah.
So maybe it was mutual's fault.
Yeah. I mean, by all accounts, she was kind and a good landlord, but she didn't, like you said, she didn't let people roll over her.
But I think that just kind of put a pin in that. That might come up later. But yeah, you said it. She was known as a feisty lady and she handled her business, but she also just, you know, she was the essence of strength and grit is how I picture this woman.
May 19th, 1995 was when she was found dead in her home. When police entered, she had been beaten and stabbed multiple times. The scene showed signs of a violent struggle. Remember, she was near 70 years old. Blood spatter evidence was present. Furniture had been disturbed and moved around. And her autopsy concluded that she had been dead at least 12 hours before discovery, potentially much longer, which causes some problems here as we're talking about alibis, as we're talking about availability of potential suspects. If you say it was at least 12 hours, I mean, that's any time before 12 hours, it's a big window. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know that like at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, they have what's called the body farm where scientists put bodies literally all over the place. So that you have bodies in different states of decomposition, and that gives scientists kind of a really good way to guesstimate or estimate like how long someone's been dead.
It's a wild hayride at Halloween, I'll tell you that.
Wouldn't that be the best?
Or the worst?
I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it. No, I can't watch TV shows nowadays that have jump scares. My heart just wouldn't take it. So the last confirmed sign that we know of that Louise was alive came on May 17th. The next day, May 18th, there were some folks that made some calls to her house, but those calls went unanswered. there was actually a plumber that drove to her house that morning in order to collect a payment, and there was no answer. Later that afternoon, there was another contractor that came by for a scheduled estimate that they needed to work out, and she didn't answer the door. So, but what was odd, though, is both of her cars were in the driveway. So, you know, you have these people coming up, knocking on doors, expecting her to be there because they have arranged it. Their cars, her cars, are in the driveway, but she never answers.
So if they find her on the 19th, nobody's seen her since the 17th. I think that at least 12 hours probably extends back to the 17th. But again, that's a big window. And maybe even she died the day before that. In every criminal case, there are really two tracks running side by side as you're pursuing suspects and pursuing the truth. One is evidence, things that you can measure, verify. You've got footage, you've got DNA, you've got circumstantial evidence, I think, is a piece of that. But there are also assumptions to make and pieces you have to fit together. And when you don't have evidence, these assumptions really start to stack up. And in Louise's murder, there was so little evidence to go on that police really just got way off track and chased assumptions down rabbit holes. People say rabbit trails a lot. Didn't it used to be you go down a rabbit hole?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think Peter Rabbit goes hopping down the bunny trail. Sorry. Anyway, police go down this rabbit hole of assumptions to try to figure out who killed Louise and stopped paying so much attention to the evidence, which is a major problem.
Was Alice at Wonderland? Was that a
she
rabbit
was
hole?
In Wonderland. Yes, it was a rabbit hole.
So when you go down a rabbit hole, things
She went through the looking glass?
I don't know. I thought it was a hole.
I don't read books.
And the green grass grew all around. So investigators.
Is that where the red fern grows?
I don't know. It's Golly. A song. Investigators focused in on people that had some kind of beef with Louise. And unfortunately, there were several. And like you said, without really strong physical evidence, you're really just kind of chasing any possible lead you can get. So she had ongoing disputes with a few tenants over rent and repairs. She was in legal proceedings against a man that she had sold property to, a man who stopped making payments, so at least two legal proceedings. But one tenant stood out to investigators, a man living in the building who had a prior manslaughter conviction. To finish this episode, visit patreon.com, patreon.com. While you're there, just search True Crime Cast, and you can finish this exclusive episode only available to Patreon members.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.